Gloria in excelsis Deo. What a blessing to be here today with you again in a nice, lovely new venue. We'll just ask the Lord for help. The way the scale of consciousness arose was I attended a lecture on kinesiology one day, and what was demonstrated was that negative stimuli make your body go weak and positive stimuli make your body go strong. Therefore, somehow nature was able to discern that which was pro-life versus that which was anti-life. This seemed like a very profound and significant finding. So I went back to the clinic, and I used to take courses on everything all over the place. And then I would go back to the clinic and give a lecture on what I had learned to the staff. So I asked a couple of people. It was a big clinic, and so there was a couple of people standing there, and I said, come on over here, I want to demonstrate something. And one of the things he demonstrated was that when you look at fluorescent lights, it makes you go weak. So if you take a large number of people and have them look at the fluorescent light and you press down on their arm, their body goes weak. So I said, fluorescent lights make people go weak. So I went back to the clinic, as I say, I was giving a lecture on this to the staff. And I said, now fluorescent lights make you go weak. So I had a couple of people that were standing around. And I said, you look up, and there was lights. And then I pressed down on their arm. And they did not go weak. I said, what the hell's the matter here? Cheap fluorescent lights or what is it here? Anyway, they looked at the fluorescent lights and they stayed strong. So what in the world can this be? And it turned out that they were all students of A Course in Miracles. And we had the second attitudinal healing center in the United States. And it was a group that met and they all had various problems from cancer to God knows what all. And they were doing the Course in Miracles. So then I discovered that people who were spiritually oriented stayed strong, and people who were not spiritually oriented went weak. So it eventually turned out that after about less than 70 in the Course in Miracles, I tested them periodically, these people who went weak with fluorescent lights. And they did the Course in Miracles, and when they got to about less than 70 or 75, about 3 or 4 months into the course, they were no longer weakened by fluorescent lights either. So we had discovered something that to me was dazzlingly important, how an external stimulus, how you can differentiate. So that is how levels of consciousness really began. And then I had the inspiration to calibrate it on a scale. A scale of 1 to 1,000. So we found that anything over 200 made people strong and under 200 made them go weak. As it turned out, further research turned out to be a basic protoplasmic response. To survive in this world, even bacteria have to know what'll kill you and what's good to eat and what's poisonous. So we eventually evolved the scale of consciousness on a level of 1 to 1,000. And it's been extremely useful, pragmatically, in fact, profoundly useful. It's very simple. You find somebody who's not distracted by music, and I ask her, and I just use 2 fingers, and I say, resist. So I'm pressing down with, 6-8 ounces of pressure. I'm not trying to strong arm her down to overcome her strength. I'm trying to feel, what is her relative strength? Now I'm thinking of somebody, and I'm thinking of that somebody calibrates over 200 resist. Now I'm thinking of somebody and that person calibrates over 200 resist. Okay, first I was thinking of Adolf Hitler, and secondly I was thinking of Abraham Lincoln. Now she does not know what I was holding in mind. Isn't that magical? That's the part that people have a hard time with. If I ask her what I'm holding in mind, is true or false. And the more you use it, the better you get at it. And my memory for recent events is not always the greatest. So I'll say to her, I remembered to take my pills this morning. Let's do it now. I did remember to take my pills this morning. Oh, thank God. So I won't fall over and faint in the middle of the thing. atrial fibrillation. If you forget your pill, you just sort of pass out on the floor. So if I ever pass out, just tell them, Doc, you forgot to take your pill. Oh, yeah, all right. Relatively benign condition. But if you forget your pills, you lay on the floor and pass out. Which is not handy if you're driving, so I gave up driving. Of course, we have other ways of diagnosing truth now, using kinesiologic muscle tests. So I can save a lot of time now, because we can run through diagnostic possibilities that would take days, weeks, years, and traveling across the globe even. And now, within a matter of seconds, we can get the answer. So if I said to Susan, hold the proposition, a half-inch lift in my left shoe will help my migraine, her arm goes strong. If I say to her, a half-inch lift in my right shoe will help my migraine, her arm goes weak. And of course, this is beyond the intellectual. This is because the universe recognizes truth and increases the energy field, and therefore truth makes your arm go strong and falsehood makes it go weak. It doesn't make it go weak, it just fails to make it go strong. It isn't true versus false, it's truth versus non-truth, and the absence of truth. And you can save time. If you use the muscle test, you can save yourself a lot of running around in cab fare. If I test this chiropractor, I used to snap my neck and fix it. And I test the arm, is he good for my migraine? Her arm goes strong. Of course, I could research it as to why he left town, but I feel that's none of my business. Of course, the map of consciousness goes from the lowest states of consciousness all the way to the highest. And each one of them has a life view, a view of God, an emotion. And each one represents a process going on within their own psyche. The higher the level of consciousness, the greater the likelihood of healing. On the other hand, it can paradoxically be the other way. Because you've reached a higher state of consciousness, you're now able to handle something that you could not have looked at before. And so you may go through, on your way towards enlightenment, rather severe inner states of stress because you're looking at what you didn't dare look at before, and it would have confounded you. So the whole scale of consciousness is of tremendous pragmatic value. And in evaluating a thing or evaluating a therapeutic path, I could say using testing her arm, putting half-inch lift in my left shoe will help my migraine, and her arm goes strong. That's because consciousness itself knows everything there is to know, and therefore that technique is of inestimable value. It's of tremendous value. And you have to have also earned the karmic worthiness to have heard of it or to use it. And people who poo-poo it, I tell them, you don't have to believe it. Nobody should believe it. All I can tell you is if you work with it, it's very beneficial. Of course, we also found out accidentally that it doesn't work for atheists. Using the arm doesn't work for atheists. I guess if you deny the source of truth, which is God himself, then you hardly can expect the benefits. It could be sort of some kind of divine rectitude. Anyway, we find it very useful for everything, you see. If I want to know how far it is to get to this recording session this morning, I can ask her arm. And if it's 28.5 miles, it's 28.5 miles. When we see 28.5, there we are. So it's extremely accurate, and once you learn how to use it, it changes your life considerably, especially if you have any kind of a physical illness, You can do it. People can't really calibrate their own level of consciousness because it requires a detached objectivity, which is not that prevalent. The hypothetical intellectual, from the practical experiential, is not necessary. Somebody else could diagnose what your level of consciousness is. It's more important to know what is the level of my attitude towards this particular illness. And then that might give you an idea whether you're fatalistic about it or whether you're angry about it or whatever. But that's more intellectual kind of knowledge. It's not going to really cure what ails you. So what we do is we diagnose what is the ailment. Then we diagnose what would be therapeutic. The level of consciousness is more abstract and not really applicable to a specific ailment. But the higher the level of consciousness, the greater the likelihood that you will discover what works for it. But don't forget, you still have the karmic limitations of humanness. You're made out of protoplasm, and also the aging of protoplasm, etc., etc. So therefore, you can't jump 32 feet high. Is that a limitation of consciousness? No. Yeah, you're only a human. You cannot jump 32 feet high. So we learn to live within the limitations of humanness itself, what it means to be a human. And we develop compassion for the limitations of humanness in ourself as well as others. And that leads to a certain gracious goodwill towards all of life attitude. You realize that little lizard walking across there is doing the best he can on this hot sand. You realize this little fly flying around is trying to find something to eat because he's going to drop over if he doesn't. So you develop a certain compassion for life altogether, including your own and that of others. So when you listen to the news, what you see is the limitation of the human consciousness. Instead of making people wrong, you say, well, I see that's why they see it that way at this time under these circumstances. And therefore, the certain state of equanimity allows you to look at the world and see things that other people don't want to see because it would upset them to see it. And also, at the same time, there's a lesson to be learned in everything that occurs in life, that this can lead you to some kind of discovery that you would not have known otherwise. So I've gotten benefit out of everything that's ever gone wrong in my life, benefit of one kind or another, including the experience of the miraculous. The really miraculous, not woo-woo miraculous, but real, the really miraculous. Whether redemption or not plays a role, I know that willingness does. I don't know the mechanics of it. And therefore, suffering at great depth can lead to the surrender of things that would not otherwise have occurred. And once they have been surrendered, once you have completely surrendered to God, then the miraculous occurs of its own. And I've experienced the miraculous, and upon surrendering to God, the miraculous occurs. So that's why we say physical, mental, and spiritual, because to bring in the spiritual dimension greatly increases the rate of recovery or the likelihood of recovery.